Hello and welcome to the Clinical Care Options Infectious Disease Podcast. I'm your host, Zachary Schwartz. In this episode, we'll be discussing barriers to HBV care among African communities in the U.S. We'll start with patient advocate Bright Ansah as he shares some issues he encountered while seeking treatment after his diagnosis with HBV. We'll also talk with two other patient advocates, Janet Ofakwa and William Amite, and also Dr. Patricia Jones, who offers a clinician's perspective. So now, over to Bright Ansah.
I would like to share my personal experience on treatment and retention in care. So the barrier, I'll be sharing two experiences with two highly qualified providers that I made contact with as I sought out for treatment. And one experience will highlight some of the barriers that I encountered, while the other shows some of the practical solutions that I think will be helpful to providers if they can incorporate some of that into their practice. I think it will make a huge difference. The emphasis here is on trust and compassion. The first provider I encountered after my diagnosis in a process of seeking treatment, I just felt like I have to do constant follow-up every single time just to get lab results or any other results from her or her office. It's like if I don't make the calls, nothing is being shared or nothing comes my way. And sometimes I have to make calls for over 3 months before I'm able to get her to call and share any results or anything like that with me. The other thing that I felt with that provider was that she lacked compassion, and I just felt like she did not care. Because sometimes I will ask her a question, and the way and manner that question is answered, it just felt like I was immediately put down for some reason. And I felt like she also just treated me as a patient and never really cared to get to know me as a person. And I found that was troubling as well. And then my visits usually felt rushed. Even though I have to travel over 2 hours to get to her office, it just feels like the moment I get in, she just wants to get it done and get over with. And so it felt like everything was rushed just to be able to get through the appointment and be done with. And then when it comes to the solutions that I have, I currently see a different provider from the same institute or from the same organization. And my experience with this provider is very different from my first experience. This provider established trust and demonstrated compassion. Every single time I visited with him, he will ask, how are you doing? Are you still able to work? And stuff like that. Even I have a case with ongoing case with Social Security, he will still find out how is the case, what is going on. He wants updates on those kind of stuff. And to me, that shows me that he really cares and he's not looking at me or treating me just as a patient, but actually getting to know me as a person. And I also feel like he demonstrates active listening and is very pragmatic when it comes to my health issues. Ever since I started seeing him in 2015, there's not been a single time that I have to call his office and ask for a follow-up on a test or anything like that. Every single time I get a test done, he will reach out, explain the test results, and make recommendation as to what is the way forward based on the test that we have. And then finally, before I started treatment, I had no idea about what medication is out there. And so when I saw him and we were discussing treatment, I think we had a shared decision-making on the best treatment options that were out there. So he did talk about all the treatment options that were out there, went through the pros and cons of each single one, and then he gave me the opportunity to decide whether I wanted to go on treatment or not. And he also highlighted what will happen if I chose not to go on treatment. And so I felt like I was involved in the process. And I think these are some of the practical solutions that I think if providers who cater for patient, Hep B patients who are of African descent, if they are able to put some of this into their practice, will be very helpful. And I think it's very good that he did this, because when he offered treatment, I was acceptable to it compared to the first provider. Had the first provider offered treatment, because I didn't trust her, I don't think I would have accepted that offer and would have gone on treatment.
Right. Thank you for sharing your case. Does anyone have additional practical solution to share on mitigating barriers to treatment and retention in HBV care?
So I can share something that actually I don't think we've discussed before, but probably should. We talked a little bit about immigration status and how that might impact people's ability to get screened, but it also might impact people's ability to secure insurance and treatment. So that's a certain barrier to retention and treatment. And in terms of other barriers, I think Bright highlighted it, a lot of his own personal experience dealing with two different healthcare providers and the different things he has to go through in order to take care of himself, like traveling a great distance and then even waiting a good amount of time, really an unacceptable amount of time, to hear back regarding his results and what impact that had on him and the doctor-patient relationship that was forged. And so I think a practical solution is to be mindful about all of the different life circumstances that our patients are facing. Even if, you know, you've seen several patients with hepatitis B, this one person in front of you has unique life experiences that might inform their ability to hear what you're saying about their disease. And even their understanding, there have been studies that have looked at whether or not patients understand. And there actually is a lot of confusion with the terminology for hepatitis B. And so people understanding the status of their infection, how serious it is, why they need medicine, why they don't need medication, all of those things, I think, are going through patients' head. And it's important to take a pause and to sort of meet each patient where they are to explain why they need treatment or not, or care, because care is important for people who don't need treatment. Because if you don't form that relationship, if it's not, you know, a healthy relationship and there's an issue of mistrust, that yes. might lead the person to never come back. And then you've lost them. You've lost the opportunity to help them. And the thing about hepatitis B is it's not the person in front of you only, it's also others. Right. Yes. It's the cascade. Right. It's their community. It's not just them. So if you can forge a positive relationship, then you can potentially have much more of an impact downstream, which I think is really important for this population.
Yeah.
I was going to actually say what you just said, Dr. Jones. I think that compassion leads to trust. And I think when a patient trusts you, they're willing to believe in your direction. And I think that with Bright, both doctors, the one he stuck with, the one that he spoke highly of, is the one that shows that compassion, the one that follow up with him, that he doesn't even need to keep track of when he should get tested or be monitored or to follow up on his appointment. Is the doctor doing that legwork for him? And so I think it's so important to definitely have your patient trust you, because it goes a long way in the patient following your direction and seeking the care that they need.
Yeah. And I just like to add something. You know, I think we've talked about immigration status and trust. You know, in the African community, especially, it's you know, one thing that also hasn't been touched on is traditions and customs, right? Folks who come back, who come here, you know, believe in different ways of healing or treating one, you know, getting treated. And I'm talking about traditional medicine. People have different types of beliefs, of course. And, you know, talking about community and church leaders, you know, these are people they trust because, you know, there were churches back there and, you know, they listen to the pastor and what he says. And of course, you know, as a healthcare provider here, it's a question of how to understand that and how to understand how to navigate people who have different ways of either believing what, you know, what's being told to them or the suspicion that they have, you know, of just, you know, Western medicine in general, and how to keep them on track, essentially, so that they stay on Western medication. Because I know that there's a lot of people who, you know, dabble in between the two. And so, you know, those obviously are some of the barriers, you know, the trust factor, that's where the trust factor obviously comes in, you know, because people grew up in places where there's certain types of community leaders that they listen to. And so, yes, having access to community leaders who they really do trust and who can help them essentially find care and that everything's going to be okay is important.
I just want to add to that, actually, because I think that it's part of getting to know a person, which is important. It's critical for any healthy relationship. So when I ask patients where they're from, that's a practice that I implement. It then leads to more. How long have you been here? And then maybe I have a connection with the country. And so we get to know each other. But then I think also a practical solution is to ask people about their beliefs, because you won't know if you don't ask, right? So especially because some non-Western medicine, as we'll say, will get a bad rap, right? So people may not feel comfortable talking to their healthcare provider because they may say, oh, they're gonna put it down. They're gonna make fun of me, or different, you know, perceptions that they may have. So I think just asking people, you know, about healers, potentially about other medications that aren't prescribed, about teas, about supplements, because they're very important. And sometimes they contain things, as you said, that can interact with other medications. So I think that's all part of taking that minute to get to know the person in front of you. And I think that will go a long way towards that. The other thing that I want to add that we haven't mentioned before is that we have to understand the stigma, right? That infections carry, all types of infections carry stigma. We've even seen it with COVID, right? And so the medications for hepatitis B are also used for other infections that are stigmatized. And in my practice, I've actually had patients be concerned about taking these medications because they're concerned that, you know, does this mean I have HIV, or people will think that I have HIV? And so I think as healthcare providers, we need to be aware of the intense stigma in various communities about having infections, about needing certain medications, and also be mindful of that in all of our conversations with our patients, because that's certainly something that many are thinking of, but may not feel comfortable saying. So if you already know in the back of your head that this might be an issue, it might be something that you can bring up through the patient, and they don't have to bring it up to you. So I think those are some practical solutions to think about. But I really appreciate the time and talking with all of you about your experience, because I think it has helped me to think differently about the people that I interact with and their personal stories and how they may be similar or different. I just wanted to say that as well.
Yeah, just to add to what Dr. Patricia said, I think you really have said it. You've put it in a right word. And I believe the first impression goes a long way. And if that impression is not good, that's the relationship deteriorates from that moment. And so I think just looking beyond the patient, see the patient as a human, instead of just looking at the patient just as a patient. And with Africans, we tend to look at that. It's like how we are being treated. Are we being treated just as a number or a patient? But if you take your time, like Dr. Jones mentioned, asking the person, hey, how was your day? You know, where are you from? Just being interested in getting to know the person. Yeah, sometimes it might sound weird to some people that, hey, this is the first time I'm meeting this doctor and he's asking me all these questions. But just you showing interest in the person and trying to know the person and understand where the person is coming from goes a long way. And then the other issue is when it comes to treatment is we have to understand the commitment someone have to make just to go on treatment. I mean, I had to, I think I tried not to go on treatment as much as long as I wanted to push it as long as I could. But then looking at talking to my provider and understanding what this treatment, the reason why I need to go on treatment, and then what will happen if I don't go on treatment based on my results at that point, I thought there wasn't any opportunity for me to prolong refusing to go on treatment. And so we have to, as a provider, just putting yourself in the shoes of the patient and understand this is a long commitment this patient is going to make. So if you show the patient that, hey, I'm interested, I'm here for you, I care, I want us to do this together, I think it goes a long way than if it's just like, okay, you are the patient and this is just on you and you have to do this. I think that's where a lot of time we see the fall off, where the patient goes and never shows up again. Because I've had conversation with other people who have seen doctors and stuff like that have happened, and they don't do follow up for 2-3 years, and then something happens and then they have to rush back to see someone else. And at that point, unfortunately, to some people, it is too late to do anything. So I think just treating the patients and looking beyond the patient and making the first encounter more relaxing, more friendly, more nice, getting to know the patient, I think it goes a long way.
And just to add a little bit to both what Dr. Jones says and Bright, it really all goes back to also stigma, right? I mean, you know, folks in the African community, you know, maybe elsewhere Asian, it's not wanting to share, you know, that kind of personal information about their illness. So obviously, you know, going to a doctor and talking, doctor making them feel like, you know, your information is safe with me. Because, you know, not everybody knows that. People think once they provide information, it's out there. And I think even within communities, people don't want somebody else to know, you know, even within families. So, you know, the stigma of what hepatitis is and what it means, and maybe they did something really bad and everybody's going to shun them because, you know, they're diseased. You know, I think that's a really big issue in migrant communities, not just African, but, you know, many migrant communities. So I personally looked at others where this has been a case, and it is with African too, talking about barriers, essentially. It's just that fear that, you know, everybody will find out I have this and what's going to happen. So nobody wants to either get tested or go and find out how to be taken care of.
Thank you very much to Bright, Janet, William, and Dr. Jones. To hear other episodes in this series, see the show notes or go to the Clinical Care Options website. Thanks for listening.